Welcome to Polesville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Polesville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Polesville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You are always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. In his message titled, "The Door Swings Closed," Reverend David Williams tells us that it is a challenge to be prepared, especially for that what we don't know. God tells us that we have to be prepared every day so we are ready because we do not know when the time will come. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
Please be seated. We gather in this sacred little space this morning, coming out of lives that many weeks just follow the same pattern. Day after day, we do the same things, and there are always certain things that we've set aside for later, certain things we assume we're going to get to at some point, certain ways we're going to develop ourselves, maybe next month, maybe the month past that. And time goes on by, and it goes by so swiftly that sometimes the thing we meant to do never happens at all. As we gather in this place today, we are called to remember the urgency of this moment, the time that God calls us to be the person God is making us is now. And that there are certain things in our lives that are important enough that we can't leave them. Each of us knows in our own life what that is. And so in this moment, let's admit that sometimes we're less committed to that than we should be, less willing to move forward than we should be, less willing to grow into that God-lit self. Let's do that together using the prayer of confession. That's printed in our bulletins. Please join with me in praying it. Gracious and almighty God, nothing is easier to do than nothing. Sure, the world is full of possibilities, but with every possible success, every possible moment of growth and grace, there's the possibility of failure. When we come across those moments, we are tempted to hold back. Why put ourselves at risk? So we hold back truths that should be spoken. We keep doing the same thing, even though we know it isn't working. We don't let our spirits grow and don't let our gifts deepen. Forgive us for this, Lord, because until we overcome that fear, we can't be who you want us to be. In Christ, we ask this. Amen. Listen now to the assurance of God's pardon. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ, who lived for us, died for us, and reigns in power for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything is fresh and new. Friends, what is the good news of the gospel? In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Today's third scripture reading is drawn from Matthew's gospel. I'll be reading from Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. Let's listen again for God's holy word. Jesus said, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, 'Look, here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all of those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out.' But the wise replied, "No, there won't be enough for you and for us. You better go to the dealers and buy some for yourself." And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here, grant that they might be acceptable in your sight, O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This year, I decided I wanted to try to cheat time a little bit, or rather, do something that I fully suspected I wasn't quite going to be able to complete. My goal was to grow not just one, but two full crops of bush beans out there in the front of my garden, because my little patch has been fruitful these last few years. It's just been a festival of green beans year after year, and my family loves it. And we're, you know, hey, guess what we're having with our pasta? Green beans! Guess what the vegetable soup is going to have as its primary ingredient? Green beans! Guess what Thanksgiving casserole I'm making in June? Green bean casserole! Oh, my family loves green beans. They really do. They never tire of them. This year, though, I figured it was time to reap the collateral benefits of climate change, which I determined through my completely random calculation should stretch our mid-Atlantic growing season out by, you know, a good solid month, a couple weeks on either end. And so I planted really, really early in the spring this year and took that first crop to its completion with bags of beans going to my in-laws and my sister-in-law and my neighbors and my parents. And then when those plants were done, even though we were starting to get to the end of what should have been the growing season, I planted another round. I'm like, this is going to happen. It's going to happen. And that had that feeling. And it was productive. I was getting harvest after harvest throughout October, into late October, picking beans as those little plants kept cranking them out. And my family kept smiling. Hey, it's casserole again. Hey, I really need other recipes. But it's like, started looking, you know, you look online, maybe I could dry them up into like green bean fritters or something, you know, just something to mix it up. Because I know they'd be even more excited at that. It's like, guess what we're having for snacks now? It's like, yay. I didn't go to the store and bought chips. It's going to be green beans. Hey, yay. But I had this additional hope, and it was perhaps an unreasonable one. In fact, I know it was an unreasonable one. I wanted to be able to seed save from this last planting. You know, at the beginning of every planting, I always tag what look like the hardiest and fattest beans at the beginning of the season as they're starting to pop out. I look for the plants that are doing the best, and I say, you know, I'm gonna save a little bit from this one. So I'll wrap a little bit of clear tape around one of the growing pods just to remind myself, don't harvest that one. Save that one. Because once the plants start to die off as part of the natural process, the beans dry out. They become the seeds for the next year. It becomes the next crop. And I do that, one, because it gives me free seeds and that appeals to my Scottish blood. But two, it just seems fair, you know? It's like fair to these plants that feed me. It's like, hey, you know, I'm gonna be eating you this season. But I'll make sure your progeny are around next year. Are you all right with that? And the bean just sort of sits there. It doesn't answer. But yeah, but I would say no to that kind of proposition. But you know, beans don't seem to be bothered by it. It just seems fair. And so I wanted those seeds from this crop, but I ran out of time. There just wasn't space. The frost was going to come, and I was covering the plants, and I was watching as they started to get to the point where they were beginning to dry, but not quite. There was still too much moisture in them. They were too plump. I couldn't bring them in and hang them up and let them dry naturally. I couldn't do that. They weren't quite ready. And there was no way to stop that. I could see the forecasts coming in. There's only so much my tarps are going to do. And I didn't have time to build a greenhouse around them, nor do I think my neighbors would appreciate that. I'm building a giant greenhouse. It's wouldn't be allowed, and I couldn't stop time. Before the freeze came in, there was no Dr. Horrible freeze ray to pause time so that they could get to where they need to be. Didn't anyone get that reference at all? Dr. Horrible? Yeah. Love that little musical thing. It's just stop time for a moment so that you can get done what you need to do. It was a different kind of freeze that happened, and it just blasted the plants to nothing. You came out in the morning, I was like, ooh, what happened to that? They were gone. And it's not that I won't use them. I'm going to pull them out sometime this week and chop them up, throw them under the mower as I mow up my leaves because I'm lazy, and dump them into the compost pile. They might not give me seeds, but they will be part of the dirt in my garden in 2019. But I ran out of time for that. Winter, as they say, was coming, and that meant I missed that season. It wasn't quite enough. There wasn't enough time to make that happen. And that idea that time is a limited thing, our resources can only go so far, is the underlying image from Jesus in Matthew's gospel today. We are in the very final sequence of Jesus' teaching in Matthew here, as he wraps up his ministry. The section we're in now is part of what's called the judgment discourse in Matthew, where Jesus is both describing God's judgment on us, but giving us a sense of how we might use right judgment, how we might find the wisest way to live our lives. And this section answers some pretty definitive questions. What is valuable and good in the eyes of God? And what do we need to avoid? How will things end? What is the destiny of the rich and the self-righteous and the powerful? All of these questions answered in these chapters from Jesus. And this story. And this story is known, for pretty obvious reasons, as the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. You know, there are bridesmaids there. 10 of them. Pretty straightforward title, and it describes something that would have been a familiar event in ancient Israel, a great celebration, the pattern of awaiting the arrival of a bridegroom and a bridal party in the evening. And when they said in the evening, they meant sort of kind of sometime, because in ancient Judah there was no such thing as a wedding planner. You didn't have someone calculating things out. There was no such thing as a wedding rehearsal where you practiced things. Right, this is going to happen then, this is going to happen now. And in ancient Judah, if you had an event, it was expected to start on time. You know, if you have an event in Poolsville, it starts about 5 minutes after it's supposed to. Because that's how long it takes to cross Poolsville. If you had an event in ancient Judah, starting on time meant your event was going to start most likely sometime that day. people showed up when they showed up. There was no little buzz in your pocket to remind you you had to be somewhere. If you got most of your bridal party there on the day you thought it was going to happen, it was a success. Delays would be frequent, everything would be a little chaotic, and even a celebration as central as a marriage would just go on all day, however long it takes. We'll get it done today sometime. And so we get this image of a marriage and of a ceremony as Jesus describes how wisdom guides us to deal with the moments God has given us in life. It's a parable intended to describe the immediacy of the reign of God, its immediate demands, and yet that it also comes to us at a point we can't anticipate or expect. We know that this is about the kingdom of God because, well, Jesus said so. Hey, the kingdom of heaven is like this. This is what you can anticipate. And what you can anticipate is that you need to be prepared and you don't know when it's going to happen. Now, technically, all of the bridesmaids are sort of prepared. They've arrived with lamps filled with oil, but only for a set amount of time. The five wise ones, though, being aware of what this kind of event is like, arrive with their lamps filled with oil, and they have extra. They have brought more than they need to make sure that stuff happens. And the others, they don't quite get around to it. Well, it's just going to work out. It'll get done. It'll happen when it happens. And this, Jesus is offering us up as a traditional wisdom teaching. If you go through the sayings in the book of Proverbs, you get the wise and you get the foolish. And you always have the wise as the ones who plan and prepare, who set aside resources with the assumption that, you might need it. And fools do the opposite. They only think of the moment. They only think of the instant. They don't see the totality. They don't see their context. And here, there's a fairly straightforward teaching that Jesus is offering up. There are certain things you're going to need to do to be ready for this kingdom whenever it happens. And it's kind of now and it's kind of not yet. How do you approach that? How do you approach the very limited life you have been given? And I think in the ancient world, the understanding that who would show up without preparing? Because you never know when something's going to happen. You never know. It would have been far easier for them to say, well, look at these fools. They know he could show up and it could still be light, and he could show up and it'd be almost midnight. There's no way you can predict that. For us, though, I think it's a little harder because we live in an era of immediacy. We assume, because it's the nature of the culture around us, that what we need will simply be there whenever we need it. We miss in our endless consumer rush that there are moments that don't return and there are ways for us to miss opportunities. We miss, as we're taught, that whatever we want is 2 clicks and 2 days free shipping away, that life sometimes requires us to act and plan further ahead than that. We forget, as we become wrapped in the endless distractions and busyness of life, that we need to pay attention to the wholeness of the arc of our life, which is so fleeting. To live today in such a way that we don't run out of time because we're doing what we need to do in the now. I feel that personally. I think the challenge with a passage like this when you're in midlife as a pastor is that it just punches a lot harder than it did when I was in my late 20s and in seminary, when life stretched out a distance ahead of me. And it punches harder because, when I'm in the thickets of writing, you can expect it to make its way into any sermon. And it punches harder because I keep a list of every story idea I've had, every book, every possible thing I might ever want to write, and each of those stories clamorous for attention. And I look at that list, which is a page and a half of ideas that at one point lit up bright in me. I'm like, I want to do this. Oh, I can do this. And I'm aware that time doesn't stretch out forever. The opportunities to do those things don't. And it gives urgency, and it makes me plan, and it makes me write, and I'm aware of that in every part of life. There are things that one needs to do in the time that you're allotted. And you can put them off forever. But that just means they're more likely not to happen. And sometimes that means the door will close. A thing that you really knew you needed to do. The time for that will pass. Just as the time for seeds to come to fruition can be blasted away with the first frost. That is a challenge that Jesus offers up. And it's not an easy one. Listening to this always makes me, as the years go by, slightly more anxious than it did the previous time I read this passage. You're more and more aware as life progresses of how much less of it you've got. And you worry about, well, is this the point where I won't have done enough? And this is a hard story, and it is meant to be hard on us. But you have to listen to it in the context of the other thing Jesus teaches again and again, which is that in our trying, in our striving, there is grace. Certain parts of our life might be closed off to us, and certain possibilities might never be fulfilled, but even in that there is grace. Which I offer up just because I feel this. I feel it intensely as a, oh dear Lord, there's so much I've not done. But certain things we can do, living a life of integrity every day, striving as hard as we can every day, and understanding that we are imperfect and that will be received with grace. If we have that spirit in us, we have fuel enough. But still we shouldn't imagine that we have all of the time in the world. So watch for that. Continue striving. Prepare as best you can. And live with that fuel of the Spirit in all that you do. Let that be so for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation of Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
Being fully and adequately prepared for that which life throws up at us is always a challenge, because we're never quite exactly sure what that's going to be. We have sort of a general vaguish idea. But what is that exactly? What is tomorrow going to look like? And you can kind of look at your flip through, oh, I've got this and this, but we're never precisely sure when it is and how it is things are going to be. And so the challenge for us is, how do we prepare for that? How do we ensure that not just our lamps trimmed and burning, but also that we have what we need to sustain that if the darkness is longer than we expected or the weight stretches further? And I think the essence of that, the heart of it, is making sure that we are in every day living our faith in integrity, being as best we can the person God wants us to be in that day, in the now, and not setting that aside for later. Oh, we will get to that eventually. our call to live lives guided by the grace of God's Spirit is present and immediate right now. So that wherever we find ourselves, wherever we are, whatever we're encountered, we are prepared for it. That mingling the teachings of ancient wisdom with the grace of Christ is what I think it means for us to be bridesmaids who are prepared. And so as you step out into the world this week, bear that spirit with you. Bear the fuel of that grace with you so that whenever time comes that you need to act, you will be ready for it. Ready to offer a word of grace, ready to do the thing that needs to happen, and not needing to rush out. I'm not ready to do that yet. Be prepared for grace in every moment, because that is what the kingdom of heaven is like. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us today and tomorrow and our whole lives long. Amen.